You know?
So the part is the percentile is going to probably be around 1 or 2 percentile with the number of grants that are going to be submitted.
Oh, it's going to be crazy.
You know, well, I looked at it from NIAAA and the challenge grants, where there's $200 million total for 200 grants. And if they distribute those proportionally to the institute's budget, NIAAA's budget's only about 2 or 3% of the NIH budget. So that's about 5 or 6 of those grants. You know, so and they're going to certainly get more than, you know, 20 or 30.
Oh, yeah.
It's the cost benefit may not be as high as we all think. So.
Hi, Ed.
I'm sorry, who was that?
This is Dale. I just got on.
Hey, Dale. He's the man with all the info.
I wish.
Who else do we have?
This is Ken.
Hey.
Hi, Ken.
There's the man with all of the information.
Hi, Ed.
Is that Ken Jones?
Yeah, it is.
Holy smokes. Boy.
Andy Hull is also.
Andy Hull is here, too?
Yeah. I am. On a cane.
And you're going to be in British Columbia, right?
What's that?
Andy's going to be in British Columbia, right?
Yeah, I have to go and buy some thermal underwear.
All right.
And Tina is coming soon.
Okay. I'll tell you, when you put money on the item, the agenda item, they all show up.
Yeah, you're right. So when are you going to British Columbia?
Tuesday.
Hey, Ed. It's Michael. How are you?
Hi, Michael.
After last year or 2 years ago's fiasco, how can you be such a sucker?
You know, I just have to do it. It's going to be much better this year.
Why?
Hello.
Andy's going to be there.
Okay. What was the fiasco?
I thought you were going to say because you're not going to be there.
No, Andy's going to be there.
And they've given us more than 6 minutes, right?
They have given us more than 6 minutes. But someone, you know, last time I think Susan Astley went over by an hour.
Right.
And I think that cut into our time.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, they scheduled us for more than 6 minutes the last time we were there. As I remember, we each had a half hour.
Well, I talked really fast.
Yeah.
They're the first session in the morning.
Huh?
We're the first session in the morning this time. We get to go over.
Oh, that's positive.
I'm going to give my talk an interpretive dance anyway.
All right, so I have myself, Michael Charnas, Andy Hull, Carl Keene, Elizabeth Sal's representatives.
And Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. I have a quick message for Andy. First, I hope you're well, and secondly, can you email me your home address so I can send you your UNC cap?
Can do.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Claire.
Claire's here. All right. And then I got Ken Jones, Sarah Mattson, Tatiana, and Ken Warren and Dale are on. Anyone I miss?
Bill Barnett.
Hey, Bill.
Hi.
You got me the first time. You missed me the second. Carl.
I got Carl. Here, yep. You got the big X bike.
Carl, I got my phone. Thank you.
You're welcome. I was going to call and make sure you did get there safely.
Good.
All right. Well, I guess we can start. There really, the only items on the agenda basically are, I know that I have these Google spreadsheets now that have updates for the facial imaging project, the neurobehavioral project, and the brain image project. And I'm happy to report that progress has been made in each of those areas. There are still some sites that are not collecting data, but hopefully that will be remedied soon. And we can start filling in these blank cells. And beginning April 1st, we're going to make this available to the PIs of the project so they can see where we are. But I wanted to give people an opportunity to update, and it'll tell you what percent of your goals you're at for the entire project, what percent of the goals you are for the goals that we set this year. And you can look in comparison to what you're supposed to, what you propose to have completed versus what you have actually completed. So those will be available at the end of this month. I believe that the other items is that the informatics core has now got a workable neurobehavioral database up and hopefully a workable dysmorphology database. And the demographic one is coming along.
Yeah, I think that we have a March 6th delivery date on the last bit of the demographics database.
Yeah, this is Andy. I'm sorry, I just dialed in, but actually, we made that live this morning.
Okay. And it, however, still needs to go testing. Would you say this is a beta version or a real live?
We've gone through beta already and have sign off from Sarah's group that they've done testing on their end to say that that it works for them. They put data in and got the same data out.
All right, so is everybody in agreement on that? And the dysmorphology database, Ken, you're happy? Well.
Happy might be too strong a word.
Is Tina happy?
Sounded like a happy voice.
I've been using the dysmorphology, not entering or uploading, but looking at the data, and it's working okay.
Yeah, but what was the email that you sent? Leela this morning, or that Christina sent Leela this morning.
I wasn't CC'd on it, so I don't know what the email was, but I suspect it had to do with some data that we looked at that wasn't what we thought it should be.
Yeah, I think that is what it was, and so I was a little, that's, I guess, fair to say that that's the reason for my not complete happiness.
Okay.
All right. So, but
I have a question about the neurobehavioral database. I'm not sure whether we should be entering data into it or not, because I know there's some updates that are being worked on, and I don't know if that precludes us from entering data and when those updates might be expected.
I'm assuming that was to Andy.
Yes.
Okay, so my understanding is after we put a version into production, we realized that, I guess there was one of the tests that had issues.
Right.
That's what you're talking about, the WISC?
I don't know. There's a list. That's definitely one of the items. So I just don't know if we should enter data knowing we don't want to have to enter it twice is my question.
Okay. Well, I thought that the agreement we reached was that there was a problem with one of the data sets, but that wouldn't preclude entering data for all of the others.
So does that mean that when the problems that are on the list get fixed, will we have to enter the data again? Because if so, then I'm not going to recommend entering data. That's my. I wonder if there's a way that you will be able to transfer data in our version to the new version.
Yes.
So that we don't have to enter data again, and you'll send us back our database with the new version. Does that make sense?
Yes. That's what we've done in these instances before. When a change needs to be made, you send us the database you're working on, and we'll send you back one that has your data in it.
And then we start entering from there from that point forward.
Right. So
okay.
The thing that was found on WIS shouldn't preclude the other 13 data sets from being entered.
Okay.
All right. Now, the other item that after the NIH Challenge grants were announced, I got emails from several of you about how you or CFAS might try to benefit from the economic stimulus recovery package. And there was some concern that in the topics for the Challenge grants, that there didn't seem to be a lot of opportunity for more clinical projects. And so hopefully Ken can fill us in on other things that might be on the pipeline that might be of benefit to the CIAFSD clinical investigators. And about 5 minutes ago, I got two RFAs that are joint between NIMH and NIAAA, where NIAAA is going to put up about $1 million,
Right.
For funding research on intervention in FASD. So Ken, Dale, feel free to provide us with any insights you might have on these latest RFAs or any other ones that you feel might be coming down the pike or anything that you think that might be a benefit to the consortium clinical group.
Okay. Well, let me start. First, let me just give you a little information in the context of the challenge grants. Well, first, let me give you a little information in the context overall of the ARR, you know, the ARRA, which is the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. That act has a total of for NIH, a total of $10.4
billion.
Billion. $10.4 okay. billion dollars for funding for 2 years. So immediately you divide, you know, you take that number and divide it by two because if we, you know, we think about projects on a two-year time frame. Okay, now, of that $10.4 billion, I don't have the numbers for this part in front of me, but if you go to the NIAAA website or emails that you receive from RSA today or the NIH website, you'll see announcements that came out this morning for for three particular projects to be supported off of the stimulus funding through NCRR, and it probably amounts to $1.5 billion, maybe $2 billion. Dale, if you had the numbers before you on that, I forgot the numbers on the NCRR programs, and that is the Shared Instrumentation Program, which is for instrumentation that is between $100,000 and $500,000. The high-end equipment, which is for information from $600,000 to $8 million. By the way, you'll notice that there's a gap from $500,000 to $600,000, that there's no program that covers that, and I don't know what they intend to do about that particular range of dollars. And I was thinking that it was three, but I think it's I think those are the two that came out on that particular program. The third one is, of course, the Challenge Grant program. Now, going back to that $10.4 billion figure.
Ken, before you go on.
Yep.
So you mentioned high-end instrument.
Right.
And shared instrument for the lower amounts.
Right.
And then the third that I think you were trying to think of was for construction, renovation, and repair. Yeah.
Right, that's right, construction, renovation. So I'm doing this out of memory. Okay. From the original $10.4 billion, $800,000 of that goes to the Office of the Director of NIH. Okay. The challenge grants are coming out of that money. Okay.
Well, they said they were putting $2 million in for the challenge grants.
$200 million.
$200 million.
$200 million.
And how much are they giving to the director?
$800 million.
Okay.
Okay. So obviously there are other things that are going to be coming down the pike. And some of them I know a little about, and I can't talk about them. But most of it is at this point, even I don't know what it is. Okay, out of that 800. Okay, now let's go to the remainder of about after you deduct the funds that go for construction grants, large instrumentation, shared instrumentation, the Office of the Director, you're left with about $7.4 billion, and that gets distributed to the institutes based upon their relative budget. For NIAAA, that translates to $114 million. Again, for 2 years support, so now you divide that in half because you figure, you know, you have to pay for 2 years. So that's the equivalent of, well, that basically works out to be $57 million a year. That's a sizable amount of money. And it will be spent on a number of activities. But before I go and specify what those are, I just wanted to mention that there are going to be, just as you will see if you read the challenge grant or if you read any of the other announcements that have come out, the funds that are coming from the Recovery Act, because this is economic stimulus, are going to have far greater monitoring than you're used to in a typical research grant. It's going to be monitoring several times a year, and there's going to have to be a lot more specification, for example, in terms of the number of individuals who are being hired or the number of individuals who are being retained, because, again, the major purpose is economic stimulus. Another requirement, remember, this is two-year money. So that, and it's only two-year money. It doesn't extend beyond that. So there has to be some sort of an outcome after 2 years. So, it's, for example, it's not to start a clinical trial, a brand-new clinical trial, which does not have a product at the end of 2 years. Now, that product is, you know, it's acceptable that it's, the product can be the accrual of pilot data, but it has to have some sort of a product. Another approach, and now we're getting close to, the issue I'm going to be talking about, is one of the things that is acceptable is to augment the rate of accrual in ongoing studies. So in other words, hiring extra staff who will be working, on the projects. Okay. Now, what are the types of awards that we're talking about? Well, first of all, one of the things that we will be doing is, because we do have the funds, we will be pushing our pay line down and awarding additional grants. In other words, we'll go beyond the pay line on our R01s and the R21s, and we will make additional awards. Provided the project can meet the other criteria of the ARRA. In other words, they wouldn't have to be able to reduce the specific aims in a 5-year R01 to something which can be accomplished in a year. I mean, within 2 years. Okay. In addition to pushing our pay line down, we may have some additional RFAs that are coming out, and that's still under debate as to whether we're going to add any other RFAs. But one of the NIH-wide approaches, and there will be an announcement coming out probably no later than the beginning of next week for a general call for administrative supplements and a general call for, or really an announcement for, competitive supplements. Competitive supplements are now called visions. They're called revisions.
Revisions,
yeah, okay. And I can't tell you more about those at this date because the information is not out yet, but it should be coming out very shortly. Okay. What I can tell you is what the difference is between a competitive supplement, or a revision, and an administrative supplement. An administrative supplement is given for a project which fits within the scope of the ongoing project. Okay, in other words, it fits within the specific aims. As an example.
The part is the percentile is going to probably be around 1 or 2 percentile with the number of grants that are going to be submitted.
It's going to be crazy.
I looked at it from NIAAA and the challenge grants, where there's $200 million total for 200 grants, and if they distribute those proportionally to the Institute's budget, NIAAA's budget's only about 2 or 3% of the NIH budget, so that's about 5 or 6 of those grants.
The equipment in this particular case is less than $100,000 because that would be the top, and because anything above that goes to shared equipment. Over $100,000. Okay. Now, a competitive supplement expands the scope of the project. It adds another it adds another specific aim. It basically it says, you know, we can get more value out of this project if we do X in addition to Y, and we are applying for that. That is going to have a receipt date towards the end of April, towards the middle to the end of April. There'll be a single receipt date, and they will go for competitive. You know, they'll go to a study section to be reviewed and scored, and determinations made after that in terms of awards to be made.
For people in the center, in the consortium, the cores are not eligible for those, right? Or am I wrong? I'm hoping I'm wrong.
Well, the core could be. Well, let me put it this way: the primary NIH is preferring that the funds are expended on what are called research project grants (RPGs). Okay, and RPGs include R01s, R21s, UO1s. Those are the three major ones we're talking about there. The cores are U24s, and those are not RPGs. They're what are called other research mechanisms. Now we can ask approval. We can ask for if we want to make an award to anything which is other than an RPG, we have to get the approval of NIH. So it's not impossible, but it has an extra hoop to jump through. Okay. So what I would say right now, my bottom line message is to clearly stay tuned. For those announcements. They'll be coming out very quickly. We're posting them on our website immediately. Gray Grower is sending them out to all our grantees, and I'm sending them to Debbie Sharp, and she's been posting them within 2 hours when she receives them from me.
Ken, can you comment on whether these funds are available to restore budgets from grants that were funded at 10% or 15% less than what the study section recommended or what they had in a previous year?
They cannot be used to restore. They cannot be used to restore funds for anything that was taken out by a study section or anything in a prior year. I will tell you that there's a reasonably good probability for the awards that were made this year, that means in 2009, I don't know if anyone has any awards in 2009. As you know, because we've been operating under a continuing resolution, we have only been making awards at 90% of the we've only been making Type 5 awards at 90% of the council recommended level of funding. And we typically go back and we increase that usually to, once we do have an appropriation, we increase it to 96% or 97% or 98%. Most probably, if the actual appropriation for fiscal 2009 is anywhere close to the current omnibus bill, we will increase that funding to 100%. But that's 2009 funding for those projects that have already received money in 2009. But the stimulus money cannot be used to restore any cut that's made either by a study section or that was made by the Institute in a prior year. So it has to be for new activity. And again, the rationale is stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone have any other questions?
Yeah, with regards to a competitive supplement adding an AIM, what would be the advantage of doing that over just doing a challenge?
Well, it's a totally different process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if there's a theme that is close to one of the ones you have in a challenge grant, that's fine. But mm-hmm. on the challenge grant, the challenge grants are competing against all of NIH.
Yeah.
Okay, so that there's a challenge grant pot. Every institute has put in a number of themes that they considered, to be high priority.
Yeah.
We had to do it in a hurry. So, if we had more time, we probably would have had more themes or more focused themes or better themes. And I'm sure there's things we left out that we can kick ourselves in the head and say, oh, my God, I forgot to mention that. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, it's an NIH-wide competition. You're competing against everybody else. You are competing against every other. You don't have to have a grant to apply for a challenge grant. It can be mm-hmm. your first grant.
Yeah.
You're competing against every other scientist who writes for grants in the United States.
Okay.
By the way, all of the stimulus money has to be awarded to U.S. institutions and has to be spent in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's only a very, very small amount that can be spent overseas, and it's not worth going into that right now. I'm just saying, to make it as clear as possible.
Yeah.
This is for support within the U.S. Work to be done within the U.S.
Okay. One other question is, can a competitive supplement be paid by a different institute than the primary institution?
It could. It's theoretically possible.
Uh-huh.
But you would expect that since the parent grant was in one institute, I guess it's possible to do that.
Uh-huh.
But that's usually worked out by the institute, by the institutes here at NIH rather than by the applicant.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay. Can I be more specific or not?
Yeah.
Well, I'm interested in getting the methamphetamine, because I have a bunch of kids with both alcohol and methamphetamine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested in doing sort of a really quick, directed, hypothesis-driven thing.
Yeah. Well, what I would recommend then, as soon as the announcement comes out, and don't do it before the announcement comes out.
Uh-huh.
Once it does come out, which will probably it may even be today,
uh-huh.
it may even be later today. If not, I'm sure it's going to be out early next week. Once it does come out, contact the other institute. If it's methamphetamine, we know what institute you're talking about.
Yeah.
And ask them about their willingness,
because that way I wouldn't be competing with everybody else. I'd be trying to get a supplement. Right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. I'm
yeah,
so glad
yeah.
I'm here.
Remember, a challenge grant is not to add something to an ongoing project. It's a
right.
totally new project. It's like writing a new R01.
Yeah.
Except these are more like Eureka or Pioneer Awards or
yeah.
Innovator Awards. It's supposed to be something that when the peer reviewers read it, they go, oh, wow, this is fantastic. This is, I hadn't thought about this.
Yeah, they will. They will, believe me.
Yep, yep. That's on the challenge grant.
I was thinking about my supplement.
Well, on the supplement, I would go ahead and check with them and see if they're willing to do that.
Yeah, okay.
It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we can't talk too much more about it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, virtually when I gave you the ground rules, both for an administrative supplement as well as for competitive supplements, those are the general ground rules as they exist. The only thing is then on the competitive supplement is there will be a special call, and that's not a secret. That's already on the NIH website, and it says that there is an announcement that will be coming shortly.
Okay.
And if anyone is interested, the president is expected to sign an executive order on Monday reversing restrictions on embryonic stem cell research.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Just came out 9 minutes ago.
Okay. And if you're interested as well, the continuing resolution that NIH has been operating on since October 1 was supposed to expire today, and the omnibus bill was supposed to have been completed today so it could be signed by the president. Because some of the Democrats in the Senate had concerns about the bill, probably because of all the earmarks that are in it, the Democrats were not able to get cloture in the Senate, and therefore the bill could not be acted on. So a new continuing resolution was introduced and passed by the House first and then by the Senate, the House about 2 o'clock, the Senate by 3 o'clock, to be signed by the president today. That gives us another continuing resolution on at the same funding level, you know, in other words, to keep working until next Wednesday. So I'm employed.
What, you mean you're not going to get a raise?
I don't get raises.
Ken and Ed, I have a question about these developmental projects.
Yeah, that's the next thing that we need to talk about, and I'm going to turn that over to Dale.
Okay, developmental projects. Sorry, this is taking so long.
Okay, let's see. It's in my court here.
Yeah, and it's out, so you can call them up on the web.
What's that, Ken?
Are you talking about the CFAP development project?
Yeah, I was just curious whether there was an advantage for people who don't know whether their developmental project, which had been asked for a full application, would be approved. Would there be an advantage to applying for a competitive supplement for the same project, competing for a bigger pool of funds?
The problem with that, and Ken and I talked about it, is that the administrative core, as Ken said, he would have to go to the building one to ask approval to supplement that, because I had thought that we could perhaps fund more of those developmental projects.
Yep.
If we could get an administrative supplement. But that doesn't appear that it's a likely event right now.
Okay, I was confusing developmental projects.
Yeah.
Okay, you're talking about Ed, you're talking about the developmental projects that were
solicited from CFAS.
Yeah. Those would not qualify, period. And you'll see when you read the announcements when they come out.
Okay.
They just would not meet the terms at all.
But it sounds like that you are looking for developmental projects.
There's something else. There is a neurodevelopmental disorders RFA that just came out today.
Right, that's for
an IMH that we are also a part of.
Right.
That's interventions. So
right.
Interventions, right.
That's something that I think Ed alluded to earlier. And so you, Ed, you have those announcements. I also just a moment ago sent them to Jill, asking her to send them to the rest of the clinical group.
Right. I got them about 5 minutes before our call started from Sally.
Okay, yes.
Jill forwarded them.
She did?
Yes.
Okay, great. So take a look at those. Those literally hit the street today.
So how different are they?
They're just interventions.
They're two different.
Yes, there's two different ones. One is an R21 /R33, and so there's 2 years of developmental R21 funding in one. And it can be followed on with R33 to, I think, push it more towards clinical trial, proof of principle sorts of things. The other mechanism is R34, which is, as I understand it, for gearing up to do a clinical trial. This is something you guys know more about than I do in the details, but that's the reason for the two mechanisms. So it allows for earlier development leading to clinical trials and just the things that need to be done to get it ready to go, in other words. And so this is out of NIMH, so they're interested in interventions that affect a variety of cognitive and other neurobehavioral issues arising from genetic and other causes, and they included also alcohol, so it jumped right out at us as something we would want to be involved in. So we are participating in their RFAs in this case. And as I think Ed may have mentioned before, and Ken certainly would as well, that we are setting aside up to $1 million to fund these sorts of projects that are relevant.
And will they be going through a special committee, or will they be going through the usual committees?
They will be reviewed by a study section that is going to be assembled by mental health, as I understand it.
And is NIAAA going to have some people on it, one hopes?
They're going to involve us in when they're ready to establish and set up that review group.
Because it's been our experience lately that it's hard to get things through these committees because there's nobody on them who has specialized knowledge of alcohol-related issues.
Yeah, and we discussed that as we were joining in, and we have an assurance from them that we'll be involved in the process.
Excellent, good.
All right. Unless there's any more, I'm going to have to leave. You're welcome to continue the call, but there's this big guest lecture here, and I have to be at it today. So,
okay.
Are there any other issues that I need to be involved in?
Nope.
Okay, then. So if you have other questions for Ken or Dale, you're more than welcome to stay on the call, but I have to leave. So I will talk to you soon. I'll see some of you in British Columbia. And have a good weekend. All right?
Ed.
Okay. Take care. Thank you.